Everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meet and merry part, bright the cheeks and warm the heart. For tread the circle thrice about to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And merry meet again, everybody, and welcome. My guest tonight is Vicki Dodd, and she'll be talking about her new book, Healing Through Sound. Now, Vicki's been a sound healing therapist, body worker, workshop leader, and internationally recognized pioneer of healing through sound for about 50 years. She's collaborated with Don Campbell in the Institute of Music and Health Education in Boulder, Colorado. And she's created sound schools, trainings all around the world. Now, chat room questions and comments are always welcome for those who are listening live in the chat room. And if you're not listening live but you want to join in, we're at paraxradionetwork.com. Vicki, thank you for joining us tonight, because most of us really need to awaken our audible bodies, don't we?
Yes, I think so. Wake up, yes. That's part of the message that's been coming through for quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, wake up. Mm-hmm.
And now everybody has a chance to learn how to, which is really good. So the book is a guide to sound as body work, and it shares your system for addressing trauma locked in the physical body with the healing power of sound. And there are practices to help us also in chapters to relieve tension and all kinds of goodies. But before we jump in with both feet, I want to hear about the lineage of sound healing for you personally by introducing us to the teaching of the grandmothers and beginning with the wort.
We know that it's ancient, that people have always been using song, they've been using music, movement, in every culture, right? So it's in us, whether we know it or not, it's in us. And we respond to song, we respond, you know, every mother, every father, if they had the opportunity in any way at all, if they were not, they held that baby of theirs and they went, "Oh, you know," there was always that soothing that just comes natural to all of us, whatever language we live in, culture. It wasn't New Age. It's ancient, which is possibly what New Age is. But anyway, I think it's an innate knowing in us, to soothe through, "Oh, honey, oh, come here, you know?" Mm-hmm. It's just, we do that, don't we?
Yeah.
We do that. Yeah. So.
And you learned it very early, when you were a child.
It's just my culture, yeah.
Tell me the story. Yeah. Tell everybody the story about the wart.
Oh, no. I come from kind of the roots of Appalachia here in the United States, so I had a wart growing inside my lip, the inner side of my lip, and for a long time it was there. And you know, we didn't use to doctor. We would go to like Grandma Reister or Grandma Reeder or Grandpa, you know, somebody. There was always somebody that knew about something, but nothing was taking it off. And So we just, and so we had a new doctor move into town, and people started going to see Dr. John because that really showed that you were, had become more affluent, you know, that you could afford to go to the doctor. So we went to the doctor, and he did Dr. John, and he tried to do everything he could, and it would not go. So he said, well, we're going to have to take you to a city about, oh, I don't know, an hour or two away, which was absolutely, now we're going to go to a hospital. Now, first we're going to a doctor, which is not what we had been ever doing. And now we're going to go to, you know, another city. Anyway, it was not a pleasant, it was scary, I'll put it that way. So we leave the doctor's office and we get to the corner of town. There's only one corner in town. And we get to that corner and there's a Grandma Reister. Actually, her full name was Grandma Reister on the Hill. She was the one that lived on the hill. Oh. And she asked what we were doing, and you know, my mother told her, she said, let me see that, honey. And I pulled my lip down. I was 4 years, I don't know, something like that. And pulled my lip down and showed her, and it was just a very gentle thing, and it was only years later that I realized more about what she was doing. But she just put her hand on my shoulder and just patted it and looked at it. And she said, oh, honey, you won't have that tomorrow. And I woke up tomorrow and I didn't have it. And that was the beginning of just, it was not the beginning, but it was another beginning for me of knowing that molecular structure could be changed with thought, with prayer, with love. And intention.
Yeah. You know, people think, well, sound is a definite tool, right? And in a dynamic in nature. And I think the best place to start at the beginning was those healing sounds. Probably, like you said, have probably been around since the invention of the wheel, but never, you know, they didn't think anything of it. They were doing it. It just came naturally, like you said. And we all have it. It's inherent, but we don't necessarily use it because we don't really know what we're doing or whatever. And it's pretty much all about release and restoration and vitality, isn't it?
Well, those are definitely going to be components in whatever you're doing with sound. Yes. Yes.
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, what you just said, I was just taught a class last night, and what we were talking about and working with was like the need to empty. You know, so often in my body, my emotional, physical, psychological, and emotional being, I often need to empty. I get too full. I take on what's not mine. And it's not like it's negative or evil or it's just not mine. And I get crowded. And as a highly sensitive child, which a lot of us were and are, you know, I didn't have any boundaries at all. So I was always too full, you know, and which makes us feel very, you know, well, it can be challenging. I was fortunate because of where I was raised culturally, but I had clients, as I got older and started working with other people, I had clients that had not had that fortune of being with people that when you'd say, oh, I had this vision or this is going on with me, they didn't make anything of it. They said, oh, go climb a tree or something. But my clients were institutionalized or medicated, you know, or shamed or ridiculed, I guess, you know, out of what was taking place for them, their inner wisdom of knowing. And I think I just got off of what you asked me, Marla, but you might want to bring me back.
it was just the vitality and the restoration and and release. And I was going to ask you, why we need to empty. That was one of the things I had written down, and you pretty well would say.
We just get full, you know, and then we start making, it's amazing what happens if we just give any time at all to just making sound or dancing or moving. and that we no longer feel how we were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, when I was reading about it, it kind of made me think that, you know, I know people that clear their chakras, you know, those
sure.
little spinning discs of energy every so often just to get rid of the gunk that lies within. And so do our energetic bodies respond to sound as well as our physical bodies?
There's not any difference.
Ah.
I mean, the energetic body is just that. It's the energetics of the physical. It is a representation. As the body goes into different layers, it's going to, you know, the physical is just the most, it's the slowest. That's why we can see it and touch it, right? So, but mm-hmm. The other bodies speed up and they're not as visible or touchable. So it's so easy to work. Sometimes you need to work on both. Sometimes working on the physical is going to change the ethereal, and sometimes the ethereal will change the physical. And sometimes we don't know that until we actually are in there working.
Yeah, I was just, when I was reading about, you know, how it can change the body's tissues, like you said, can rearrange posture and release long-held emotional trauma and everything. You know, and it almost sounds too easy, but it really is. I mean, in a sense, it's just nature, right?
Yeah, and it does sound easy, and it is. Many parts of it is, and it gets actually more specific the more one does their own work. Because this is a liquid system. We are liquid systems, yeah? So sound moves effortlessly through this liquid of ours. And the more that we can understand, this is why I really think that all of us, as much as possible, really need to understand how our physical body operates, because it starts simplifying then our energetic understanding. It demystifies it. I'm very much into demystification. There's mm-hmm. plenty of mystery. I don't need to create it. We are liquid. And when I start realizing I'm liquid, just like this planet is liquid, and that it moves through frequency and vibration quite effortlessly. So it's always clearing these waterways, clearing these streams. And I need to empty it. So, you know, I can get toxic or stagnant. My liquid can get stagnant and congested, congealed, crystallized, you know, all these things that happen in liquidity. And I want to stay liquid as much as possible. And there's many ways that that can happen, but our voice or sound is such a easy, effortless way of staying liquid.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to learn how to use our voices either.
Well, not completely. It basically, I think it's it, no. I think basically, it's we just need to be appreciative of our attitude and not be looking at ourselves that something's wrong and I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
Instead of like, let me listen to what it is that my body may be asking of me. Let me learn to listen.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I'm starting to get chat room questions, so I want to get mm-hmm. over with those in case I lose them.
Alrighty. Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, the first one, she says it's a long-winded question. How about self-generated sounds like chanting, and does the method of chanting matter, or does it need to be specific, like Buddhist chants or Wiccan spells or Kabbalistic chants?
Well, it's so much about belief systems, isn't it? Isn't everything coming down to some, you know, if I believe that that is the chant that works for me, if that's the form that I am, you know, we just need to listen to ourselves. How does it work for me when I do that chant? What happens for me? You know, we do need to realize that some of the chants that we may be doing that are thousands of years old, sound creates forms. Sound creates postures. It doesn't, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I need to know what I might need to be at least interested in. What am I taking on? How am I being shaped by it? So we put our bodies, or I put myself into like my own little laboratory, and I notice, I do my own study, what happens for me when I am then chanting this for several days or weeks or months or years. You know, what are my before and after? What am I noticing? I want to pay attention to how is that chant, that sound, that mantra, how does it affect me? It doesn't mean about, it's not about judging, is it bad, is it, but I want to, it's like just, how do I feel different from it? What is it affecting? What system is it affecting? You know, this is why I love the physical body, because I can use the physical, my physical form of doing like before and afters. Let me walk around and see how I'm feeling. Now let me chant that and see how I'm feeling. You know, giving your own little, you know, let me notice. And of course I have friends in the sound world who are, have gotten very, you know, scientific in their studies of, you know, like measurement, and that's not my expertise, but the body, I love the body. Let me just see how does my body change. And when I say body, I'm speaking physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. And, you know, we put our, yeah. Does that answer that a little bit?
Oh yeah, it does.
Okay.
I'm taking it all in. I'm like a sponge here.
Okay, good.
Sponge here who's got the eye on the chat room. Okay, let me give you the other question. Do you think certain types of music can also be used to hone psychic skills?
Well, I know that many people are working with recording music and working with it with certain intentions put into it, using different frequencies to create different possibilities in terms of the wave, the brain wave centers. And so, yes, I absolutely think that it can change. Years ago, I made a recording with couple of brilliant musicians in Boulder, Colorado, and to talk to the well cell, that which is well in us, and working with the parasympathetic, you know, trying to engage the parasympathetic nervous system to be able to rest. So yes, I do think that intention is probably one of our intention works, doesn't it? Let me put my intention, and I'm not a musician, so I am not a musician, so it's never been my focus to try to entrain with music. But there are brilliant people that are doing entrainment. That's not my form. That's not my form. But I do think so. There's many types of music that I put on when I want to, and have since I was a child, and you probably have as well. I want to change how I'm feeling. I'm feeling blue. I need to put some blues. I need to sing the blues. I need to move those blues, you know. So I'll put that on. Or I need to, you know, get some rock and roll going. I need to really get my energy going. I need to remember when I felt good. Or I needing to really cry. I need to just put that on and just moan and groan. So we've always used medicine, our music, as our medicine. We have always, you know, whether we knew it or not. And yeah. And
we take it for granted.
But it's there in all of us and in every culture, and to have different explorations psychically, have different explorations, you know, mystical journeys. And so we know the power of the drum in that way, or that repetition of rhythm. There's many ways. I don't know if that's what this person is asking.
I think so. So there are other tools for sound, like music, like percussion things and stuff. Well, that's part of music, I guess. So, you know, we start with our voice and maybe add something to it, you know, as
you could. You could. Absolutely. People do. Me, I just have a voice. I sound. But I've sure spent a lot of time with brilliant musicians, you know, to add on, to be able, especially when I'm performing, used to perform with the body, the human form is my only instrument that I play. And mm-hmm. so I would be on stage with a massage table and a person on it, and I'd be using different colors of silk, and the musicians would, we would get what we're going to play from that person's body, and then they would improvise. And, the human form. I love the human form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's just saying that the soundtrack music to the film 2001, A Space Odyssey, is the one that she uses, which helps her focus.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, so we all have our preferences. We have that which touches us, and that's what we're needing to know. What does it affect in me? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes a little too well. If I hear the song, the old song, Gotta DeVita, it makes me want to clean my house. And
yeah,
so I try not to listen to it that often.
Try not to listen. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself there. Yeah.
We all have it and we need to use it. But okay, mm-hmm. so we're talking about healing ourselves, but can we learn to heal someone else? Yeah, I guess you kind of said that before, that you did that, but
we learn to heal someone else?
Yeah, just, you know, mm-hmm. like...
Well, it's been my...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No.
Well, it's been my business doing that for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Using sound as medicine, and listening to people's bodies and trying to match back as well as I possibly can that which I'm perceiving, and teaching people how to listen to their bodies, because their sound is always going to be more accurate than mine would be.
Did you start working on yourself first?
Yes.
And then
yes,
decided you.
You
can go and work it with somebody else?
Yes, thank you, Marla. Always work with yourself first.
Yeah.
Being a healer means that you have worked with yourself, not that you're able, you know, doing healing work, and I know I'm really strong about this because I'm really strong about this.
That's great.
You know, this is not about learning yet another technique. You know, I want to work with someone who's actually doing the work for themselves, that they've been working on themselves, mm-hmm. that they use, you know, instead of just learning the technique and doing it. If I work on myself for maybe a number of years, I don't know if people will do anything any longer that long, but to find out, what does it affect? How does it affect me? How does it change me? How does it rearrange me? So that when I'm speaking about it or talking to someone else, I'm not talking theory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about something I read somewhere. You know, it's like, if this is a study, like looking at ourselves as going, or giving ourselves the permission to be in our own laboratory, there really isn't such a healing. I'm so glad you're asking, because this was what I was talking about last night, because I teach at the sound school out mm-hmm. of the Bay Area here, and this was so much about it. It's like so much the focus often becomes, what can I do for, you know, how can I work with other people? And trying to get us to see that if you work with yourself, other people then become simple.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know myself as well as I possibly can. I need to, you know, I need to notice when I make certain sounds, the judgments that I have about it, the opinions that I have, what emotion does it bring up? Let me work with myself. I will be a much more accurate practitioner to other people if I do the work that I'm doing, if I take myself through that same program.
Right.
You know?
Well, also, let's go for a minute, talk about Reiki, that when mm-hmm. a lot of Reiki practitioners, once they've done their job sending it over, they cleanse themselves because they're thinking that whatever they got rid of that person, it would cling to them. Is that anything to do with sound healing?
Well, that's not necessarily does that have anything to do with sound healing, but that is a belief system that has been in the healing arts for a long time. That's why we need to do so much of our own work, so that it's not my business taking on anyone else's. That to me is like the old age concept that for me to be a healer, I have to suffer, or mm-hmm. I have to take on other people's. So we have to do our own work up, I think. And I know I'm probably stepping on a lot of toes here, but it's not about sacrifice. I think that the past age that we were in, the past Piscean age, was about sacrifice. That's how we were learning then. I don't think it was wrong or is wrong, but I don't know how helpful that is for us to keep passing around the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it could actually be dissolved.
Makes
sense. But if I'm hurting myself, Marley, if I'm hurting myself helping you, then I'm not helping you or me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is we used to get a lot of, we being us healers, used to get a lot of, she does so much work and she takes on everybody else's stuff and oh my goodness, isn't she, you know, we used to get a lot of kudos for doing that. And that's what I really like to work with practitioners, especially newer practitioners coming in and even, you know, even teaching or suggesting that it's not necessary that I should sacrifice to be of help.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, basically it's like learning how to stay out of other people's business.
Which is sometimes hard to do, yeah.
Which is always, everything I'm saying is hard to do.
That's true.
You know, it is. I don't mean it like, oh yeah, this is just simple. But I think that we can be taught this. We can let go of old belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but first I have to identify them and see how they are operating in me, and that mm-hmm. I may not even know that they're still operating that much in me. You know,
mm-hmm.
today I have no idea what's operating. I only know what was happening yesterday, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's a humbling work. It's not like, well, I got that now, you know. You know?
Yeah. We've got like a couple of minutes before the break. How can we learn to listen?
Well, first off, well, gosh, that's a big question, isn't it? So there's so many ways of learning to listen. But for me personally, with sound, I first have to spend a lot of time just emptying, gibberish, whatever it is, not trying to analyze it, not trying to know what it is, but let me just keep making sound, moving, getting movement in my body, getting a lot, you know, moving out that which is not mine. It doesn't mean that it's negative. Just let me just keep moving. Let me just keep moving energy, moving energy, and then letting it start settling where it needs to be or wants to be that day. I'm a liquid system. So that would be one of the ways. And then, you know, I need a meditation practice. I need a breathing practice. I need to know how to ground myself. I need to not be just spaced out. You know, I need to know how to anchor. You know, I need to be able to anchor so I can fly around anywhere into the galaxy, but I need to have an anchor. So there's many, many facets, and I'm sure you know many for yourself. And so we start finding what works for me so that I do not have to sacrifice to be able to be helpful to myself or others. You know, how do I stay grounded? How do I actually stay grounded in this earth plane? Let me love the earth that I am from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you respect know, it as well.
Let me respect it. Let me love it. Let me ask the earth, teach me how. I don't know how. Let me come from that place, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to just take a break for a couple of minutes. So everybody stay with us, and we'll be back very soon.
Way, there's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I wasn't prepared, but I knew I had to be strong.
When I was told about John's injury, I was in complete shock. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For thousands of severely injured veterans, everyday life is filled with barriers.
It was really the little things throughout the house. Counters that you can't roll up to.
I had to drag my wheelchair down steps.
I want to help, but he is so determined.
At Homes for Our Troops, we build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and automatic door openers that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
This house has given me my family back.
To learn more, visit hfotusa.org.
Throughout time, events have occurred that have shaped human history. Spirit voices from the past have many stories to tell, and for the past several years, channelers Barry and Connie Strom have been conducting live channeling sessions and relaying those stories and messages from those on the other side. We invite you to tune in to Barry and Connie's new show, Channeling History, on the Para-X Radio Network, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, as they relay the messages of those voices from the past, the ones who have witnessed history firsthand, and those who have made history themselves.
Hey everyone, it's Marla. If you like tonight's episode of Stirring the Cauldron and the archive podcast as well, take a look at the show's YouTube channel and check out the dozens of shows that are there just waiting to be heard. New shows are added each week, and while you're there, why not subscribe? It's free. And if you click on that tiny little bell icon at the top of the page, you'll be notified when new shows are available. Just go to youtube.com and then type in Stirring the Cauldron Para X and the link will appear. Just like magic.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Okay, I get a little bit late. I go to detention afterwards. Sorry.
No.
Huh? You here?
Yeah. Okay. But you go in and out right now.
Okay, I was missing for a minute. I was dragging my feet. But everybody knows that we're healing through sound with Vicki Dodd, and we have some questions from the chat room, some more questions from the chat room.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah, let me just go and find it. Okay. And this goes to about something I was going to talk about anyway. Does each body part have a certain sound that responds to? Because we've got a chat room question about having an issue with a particular part of her body. She said, what sound frequency will stop the incessant cough that I have had for many years? Medical intervention has not worked at all, and it's no longer an option.
Mm.
It was...
Is that the question?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was thinking about certain body parts, too. So, yeah, that was a question. Sorry.
So does each body part have a certain sound? And so, you know, I know that there's many schools of thought. If you look at Ayurvedic medicine, if you look at Chinese medicine, they have much documented for thousands of years different sounds for different meridians and different organs and colors that go with it. So again, we are plugging into something that is ancient. But what I want to interrupt here is that it is not a fix-it tool. I don't use it as a fix-it tool. There's so many other ways that we have to be looking at. If we're looking at, like you're talking about, an excessive cough for a long time, I don't think that, you know, personally, I mean, maybe some people know this is, you know, this sound is going to do this. No, I don't use sound as a fix-it tool. I use it in relationship or in part of a formula, you know, because I'm looking at excessive cough. I need to look at all kinds of possibilities. What's going on with my respiratory system? What am I needing? What are my lungs needing? You know, what is my bronchial system needing? So, you know, sound would not hurt, and especially if I'm upset with it and it's really concerning me right now and I'm needing to just be able to relax a little bit, your sound of hum, your own hum, could start relaxing your body. And yet you could even do it, since you have an excessive cough, probably if you start sounding, you'll just start coughing, I would imagine. I don't know. But, you know, let me just, I can imagine. See, that's what's the beauty of sound, is that I can imagine sound. You know, just like you hum a tune in your head, you could hum a tune throughout your body, trying to settle down. If I'm doing excessive coughing, probably my respiratory system just doesn't get to rest. My nervous system doesn't get to rest. So I need to start going back. I need to get my nervous system especially to be in a more parasympathetic way, so, which is a resting way. So I could take my hum, I could just start giving that to my system over and over. I could start just imagining that I'm making that hum. I don't even have to make it audibly, but I can just start getting that resonance going on in my body. Because I'm needing, if I'm doing excessive coughing like I'm hearing about, I'm needing to get some rest going so I can even get a good breath, you know. So I can start imagining that I am humming. You know, it's like right now I'm going to imagine it, but I'm going to imagine it and make it audible. And then I'm going to take my hands and I'm going to just use my hands and just start touching down the front part of my spine, touching my head as I hum or imagine my humming. Because I don't know, for a lot of us, if we're having excessive coughing, as soon as I start talking or making sound, I start coughing. So I use probably one of our greatest healing tools is our ability to image. To imagine, let me imagine my hum soothing, helping my body get more and more liquid, you know. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that is helpful, but it's to this particular person, but it would be a good start, because if I'm excessively coughing, I'm not breathing, everything's on alert, you know, so I'm needing to calm down my system. You know,
mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Okay, that did answer. And now we have another question. She's asking, what about environmental sounds? Say, like a big city with a lot of high volume. Can you block that, or is it a way of, or is there a way to detox from the constant sounds?
Yeah, that's a. I mean, it is, it's just an is, isn't it? So I can either fight it, which sets up a whole lot of stress in my system. You know, I don't like this. This is too loud. This is too much, you know, mm-hmm. or I can start, allowing myself to, you know, this is where we get to really, really walk the walk. Can I be present in my body? Can I keep breathing? I probably can't control all of that, but I may be able to control my inner environment, you know, but I surely can't control my outer environment, you know. So again, whenever you get into your own inner environment, I would say when I'm outside, stop fighting it. Stop judging it. I just create this fight going on, you know, this battle, you know, it's probably bigger than me, but I could keep, like I was just talking about, I could keep that hum going, you know, or just a tone going on inside my body. So I don't go on hold. I don't stop breathing. I don't stop. You know, on airplanes, it's a beautiful way of practicing that because you can just let your hum go and it matches that hum that's going on the plane, you know. So it kind of neutralizes it then, you know. Mm. So let me kind of match what is and neutralize it. But I have to stop fighting, even if you're right that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And that makes really good sense.
Good, good, good. So it's the fighting that starts hurting me more, far more than any of the sound. Mm-hmm. But, but it is, I am grateful that that's not my problem today, living in that kind of environment. But I have, and so we have to actually do more. We have to do more self-care, not less.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was going to talk about hum anyway, because you have a chapter about hum, the power of hum in the book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I read the title, it got me thinking, which is a good thing sometimes, that most of us hum sometimes and others, like some people, like my grandmother, would hum all the time. So when people hum, are we invertinent? I can forget that word. Never mind. But are we healing or calming ourselves without knowing that we are? Or, some people just think they're musical. When you hum, we're doing it for a reason?
We're doing it for a reason because we now have the intention of it. But I also, you probably, if you read my book there, I'm talking about my mother who was always humming. And we know so many, like you said, your grandma, all these. Uh-huh. And I think that, again, this innate wisdom, you know, it helps the stress. It helps me be glad that I'm doing what I'm doing, or it helps me not have all that tension come into me, that noisy city not come into me if I can keep movement going. What is most damaging is when I stop or try to hold or fight against it. Now I have created, you know, like a beaver's dam. So anything coming in is going to get stuck there. So I need to keep movement going on. And I don't know ever if my mother or grandmothers were aware of the power of their humming or singing. I doubt it.
Yeah.
But their innate wisdom somehow knew that it made it easier working that wringer washer, made it easier scrubbing those floors, you know, or aggravated people around them. I don't know either way, but it was, I think it is an innate knowing because it keeps movement going in this body. We're wanting to keep movement. Any illness begins with stagnation and congestion and congealedness, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we do need to keep as much inner movement. That's why breath is so important. And sounding, humming, at least keep me breathing a little bit. It'll keep that breath going on, you know. Because what happens in stress is that we hold our breath, you know.
That's true. And we we don't do that on purpose. It just happens as well.
No, exactly. We don't even know we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember years and years ago, decades ago now, I would notice that, my God, I had been holding my breath for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It is amazing how long we can live without inhaling.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I wasn't one of the kids that turned blue or anything. But yeah, we do that. It's like a trigger, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just, you know, there's that that intake of breath, and it's just hell. And some of us get frozen there. That's why we have to do so much, or if we're fortunate, we get to do so much body work, or we get to do rebirthing work, or we get to do breath work, trying to remember this inner movement, you know, this inner breath. It's probably our first holding pattern is holding the breath. So breath work is never a waste of time.
No, it certainly isn't. Is there a vocabulary of healing sounds, like in particular the power of vowels to start the healing process?
Well, vowels were really a real jump start for me, and they're not in all languages, but they're in most of our Western languages. So they're an easy way, like A-E-I-O-I-A-I-O-A. So there is a beautiful, they were always considered fairly sacred, real or imagined, I don't know, but and I think in a lot of the mystery schools, they were always considered sacred. And if you've been a part of any temple work, or there's often those vows in some way or another are chanted. And so many of the chants in certain languages are just they're just loaded with vowels, aren't they?
Gregorian chants, perhaps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gregorian, just all kind. Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. That's not my specialty to know. But I do know that it was a big teaching for me to open my voice again when it had gotten so closed down, frozen, actually, almost a paralysis, and of just beginning to work with the vowels of gently, not trying to break anything open. I think that may be the only message I really want to convey is never, if I'm having to effort to try to, I need to back off. If I'm hurting myself, I need to pause. It's not about how loud the sound is, or I don't think, or it's like, let me just, I'm trying to get in, not out. I'm trying to get in, and I'm not trying to tear tissue, I'm wanting to hydrate it, so I'm wanting to be gentle and loving with myself, with my voice. So if as soon as I feel that there's some stress or strain, that's my wisdom, my body's wisdom saying, soften a little bit, change the volume or change the direction, because it's not about how loud can I be, but how can I let that sound love on me and juice me, get me juicy, want to get juicy.
Do each of us have our own unique sound print?
Well, probably in terms of being able to be recognized that we were going to, the work that is being done with, and I'm really ignorant of this, but, and computerized things of measuring our sounds and seeing what it would come out in terms of being like a picture of it or so. So probably there is, but I would imagine that we are a range. I know that we're extremely unique, but at the same time, we're so much the same. So I would imagine that they are patterns that overlap and show. But I think that what we're wanting to work with more than how unique our frequency is in that way is that I'm wanting to take, again, go inside and see if I can start unwinding places in me that want to soften, places in me that want to let go, so much is letting go, not like trying to figure out. But yes, do I think that there's probably that there is, yes. I think that we recognize each other with our sound prints. I know there are people that are doing this research all over the place with that, what you're speaking of. That's just, Marla, that's just not what has been my form.
We all are individuals, and we do it our own way. and that's the only way it's going to work.
And I think so. You just need to find what am I most interested in. And I was always trying to just heal this emotional body, mend this emotional body through the physical. You know, so I trained in just about every form of body and emotional work I could find.
Wow.
And that was all that I did for, you know, one full decade. That's all I did. And then after that, I was still continuing to work, but I mean, just completely inside of it. Because I needed to know as much as I possibly could about my own body, how I held emotions, how that was connected, how that could open me up to more possibilities of feeling spiritually fit, spiritually well, emotionally well, you know, let alone physically, because that was going to happen. But I needed to understand this body, you know. So I became a body worker years and years ago, and about 50 or so years ago. So and working with the physical is almost the easiest, because it's not confused like I might be confused emotion on some of the other arenas. It's very obvious, you know, it hurts, it doesn't hurt, I cough, you know. And so it's a good gateway of understanding ourselves. And I know that's not necessarily what we're talking about today, I know, but
Getting to know you. Yeah, exactly.
Getting to know you.
There you go.
Yourself.
Yeah.
How do I love myself? Yeah. How can I love myself?
Yeah, that's important, because a lot of people don't. And that's something
to work
on.
Most of us don't. Yeah, most of us, we have to work on that. Teach me how to unconditionally love this body, this being that I am.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh my goodness gracious. Yeah. Yeah.
It's difficult for some people.
Yeah, and not egotistical, just you know, it's a birthright, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I say that I love others if I can't love me?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's
a life work for most of us, I think. It's a life work.
Well, it's a good life work.
It's a great life work. Mm-hmm. I mean, what an opportunity. You can see how fortunate one is if that gets to be their life work. Keep learning how to love oneself and others unconditionally. That is a privilege. You know,
yes.
I might not have that as my focus if I was in a war-torn zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I have that privilege today, and I know that. So I stay grateful. I stay very, very grateful
that
I have that opportunity.
That is important, for sure. We're going to end up here in a little couple minutes, but how often should we empty? Is there any particular thing, or do you feel you need to, or just do it regularly every week or month or whatever?
Well, you know, it's according to what one's practice is. I think maybe often, if I could empty every day a little bit, that would be absolutely wonderful. And then sit down and do my meditation. I'd possibly have a better meditation. I would have more room for it. And emptying can be a lot of ways. It's not just always with sound. You know, a lot of people write. A lot of people run. They walk. They dance. You know, there's many ways that I just need to, let me just empty that which is not mine. Let me just empty that's just on the top right now. Let me empty that which is in the way of me able to go in. And, you know, so maybe daily, maybe weekly, you know, I used to leave a day a week to just do a lot of inner work like that. And so then I could do my other sounds, or I could just lay down and go into breathing exercises. You know, those early years, I needed to do a whole lot to be able to get present in my body and to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have different stories.
And some people wait. They wait for somebody else to heal them, not knowing that or not understanding that they can heal themselves in many ways.
Yeah, or do their own work and then go get to their practitioner. But, you know, do your own work, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's very empowering and it's very easy, and the voice is so accessible, you know? And we don't have to be a singer, and we don't have to, you know, all that we need to do is not hurt ourselves or other people.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
That's important, other people or ourselves, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Just that easy.
Absolutely. You know,
well,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, finish.
Well, you know, people say that, you know, well, I can't make sound because I live with other people or I would disturb somebody. And so I started showing people years ago, you just take a cushion from your couch or your bed pillow and just put it over you and just go, you know, nobody hears you, but you are getting able to empty. And then you can go into your, you know, so we put these barriers up of why we can't, because and we love the one about that, you know, I live with other people and I would disturb them. I understand that, but really if you put a pillow in front of you, nobody really hears you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you hear it in your own ears, and that's
you hear it in your own ears, and you get that emotional feeling from it, so you know what you're expressing. So you move, you know. Yeah. But you get it out of you and not, then it doesn't have to come off in back ways, you know, like hurting someone else with a comment that you didn't really mean because you were just too full.
You know? Well, you know what? An hour goes by so quickly. And,
oh, golly.
And there's way more to talk about, tons of more things to talk about,
yeah,
but we've only got enough time for you to give out your website. And so people can go over there and find out more about you and your books and everything you've got up there.
Well, Marla, thank you for having me on here. And I really enjoyed it. And I hope it was of service to someone that they heard what they needed to hear.
I got some. I'll tell you after the show. But, yeah.
Thank you. My website is Sacred Sound Works. One word, Sacred Sound Works. But I guess that's it. Sacred Sound Works. Yeah.
Okay. And maybe, you know, down the line you'll come back and we'll do something, you know, more in depth and answer all the questions that we didn't get to this time.
Well, it would be my pleasure, because really it has been my work for a long, long time. And it's, so I do pray that I, or trust that there was service rendered here tonight. And thank you again.
Okay.
Thank you for the questions. Thank you for having me. Grateful.
And we're going to thank those for listening and ask the ones that asked the questions. Yes. And thank you all very much. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet
blessed
again.
Blessed be. Blessed
Good night.
Be. Yes.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.